Hey there, fans of Brotherly Love Wrestling. It is I, Vic Delicious.
Philly's own, the Mecca here.
It is the real McCoy, J.D.X., Justin D. Xavier.
It's your man, C.D., the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels.
Hello, boys and girls. This is your old friend, R.J. City.
Hey there, Brotherly Love Wrestling. Bill Carr here.
Hey everyone, this is two-time guest Wheeler Yuta.
Two bozos from Philadelphia flapping their gums about pro wrestling this, pro wrestling that.
Which is not that unique in the grand scheme of things yet.
You are in for a treat because you're tuned in to Brotherly Love Wrestling.
Philadelphia, are you ready?
This is Brotherly Love Wrestling Podcast, your first stop for everything professional wrestling. So sit back and enjoy wrestling talk at its finest with your hosts, Larry Hall and Joe Corrado.
I wish there was a way that Joe could just have his beard for part two.
Technology, you can draw something on me. I mean, draw something on me, but make it like halfway up my face and the other half like down here. Make it look
like right. A toddler. Wait. No, they don't have the right avatar. Never mind. See if they had the beard avatar.
I was so intrigued to see what was going to pop up on the screen.
I wouldn't have been able to see it, would I?
I don't know.
You put it over my face? Come on here.
No, it looks like it's all hats and stuff like that would be the avatars.
I'll pick a funny hat.
See, it would look something like this.
I could pull that off.
Or I could do the Kyrie. Or better yet, there we go. Now I'm doing my Joe. All right. I'm done. We can start the next episode now. You can do the intro.
All right. Welcome back, everybody, to Brotherly Love Wrestling's Table for Three, a WrestleMania 40 edition. This is our part two, and we're going to be talking night two, since we got done with night one, figured make it a little easy on you. Give another episode a little bit easier listening, even though it's still going to be over an hour. So night two, the lineup that I know Joe is mostly excited for that, but
obviously I'm going to be there in attendance.
I wonder why.
Yeah. So we can start there. We'll start the beginning of night two. I'm going to start with probably least interest to most. And
personally for yourself, right?
Yeah, of course. I mean, other people obviously have different opinions, but I'm the one saying it. So let's go with the six-man tag, even though I am intrigued because I like both these teams. We have Cross and a AOP against Lashley and the Profits. It's a Philly street fight. They love throwing in pay-per-views, and even in Monday Night Raws a lot of times, taking the city's name and just putting Street Fight behind it. But this feud has
It's a throwaway match.
It is, but these guys, the feud has been pretty good. It hasn't been a great build, but
I'll fucking piggyback off of the last episode. This might be the match you see the Dudley boys.
I don't know.
An AOP through the fucking table.
You know,
you could see a lot of people. You could see Sabu. You could see fucking Sandman. You could see a Philly street fight. This would be a great way to just throw random fucking ECW guys in there.
I mean,
some of them
are still technically connected with AEW, like an RVD, but.
You still get some of them, though. I mean,
Sabu last appeared on AEW, but that was forever ago.
He got no contract. Imagine fucking Lashley like grabbing something from someone in the crowd, and he grabs a trash can lid from Sandman or beer from Sandman and breaks it over their head.
Well, a lot of them are still signed to TNA, aren't they? Like Dreamer and a few others.
Dreamer and Raven are.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you also have a working relationship because we had the TNA Women's Knockout Champion.
How many times are TNA going to lend their people to come over to?
It's Tommy Dreamer.
Yeah. Hey, I'm like, just saying, man.
They're acting like they're bringing in fucking Chris Bay, Austin, or
Ace Austin.
Another person that, you know, might come over, we'll talk about later, that, you know, might be from AEW, so we can't really say
we'll say that too much for the end.
So I mean, actually two people from AEW that might come over.
Yeah, we'll save that for closer to the main event. Next I'll go another one that was kind of rushed into a feud, but I think they made it mean something, and it's LA Knight and AJ Styles.
I felt this one coming a mile away, though.
Well, it was also being built when he traveled to Australia to
Basically. Yeah. That's what I mean. But I mean, it's just, I agree with Joe. I think it was very predictable. You needed something for Styles. You needed something for Knight.
You needed something for Knight more than Styles.
Yeah. I think Styles is probably in the best shape of his career, period, right now. He looks jacked. He looks amazing. So
you're not.
Sorry, I got to take a sip of my juice because Styles has been on his juice.
Well, you had to explain that.
Yeah, dude is jacked. Okay, we've never seen him look like that.
No,
that's what ever.
You have months off, and you need to recover fast, so it helps with recovery.
Yeah.
I mean, it does.
All right, Mark McGwire.
Hey, man. That was when baseball was at its most popular.
It was.
Yeah, I know. Because it's still popular, obviously, because you're wearing his mustache.
It's just creatine. That's all it is. It's just creatine. he escaped Balco, by the way.
We'll move on to something that intrigues me a little bit more, hence I'm wearing his shirt, and that's KO, Randy Orton, Logan Paul for the United States title. I'm glad that KO found a way because I was kind of worried a little bit once I saw Sami Zayn hooked up with Gunther. And again, this feels kind of thrown together a little bit, even though with Elimination Chamber, you've seen it kind of coming. I didn't expect a triple threat match, but look, it's Kevin Owens, Randy Orton. Logan Paul's amazing in the ring for being as inexperienced as he may be.
Yeah, I think he's put that to rest, that inexperience. Like, he was built for this. Like, legitimately built for this. Like, he's a fucking, he knows he's a prick. He has all new viewers. I mean, he was made for this. Like, his whole persona is a fake fucking facade. It was made for fucking wrestling.
Yeah.
Just an arrogant.
I still won't buy Prime, even though Jen bought one the other day.
They're not bad.
They're not bad. The flavors are, I mean, it's a different.
She's mad at me now.
You needed electrolytes.
I think surprisingly, it's 1 gram of sugar, too sweet. It just comes across as too sweet. But
that's all the fake sugar.
Yeah.
Larry. Yeah. Before we go down a fucking drink rabbit hole, can you bring us back, please? Bring us back to fucking reality.
Okay.
I don't see Paul losing.
I was going to say, do we have Paul retaining?
I don't see why.
Like, I feel like he does, but then again, there's Randy Orton. I feel like KO's there. And he's taking the pin, honestly. I don't know who's getting it, but I feel like KO is there. Here's the thing. I don't see Paul actually losing it.
Okay. I agree. I don't see Paul losing, honestly. I think Orton and Owens, this kind of little friendship relationship they have, I see that going south, and I see them two beating the hell out of each other and Logan taking advantage like he has been in all his matches, taking advantage of that one spot. So I agree. I think Logan comes out on top and retains.
You know, I looked it up just because I wanted to be sure. If Orton wins, this is his double Grand Slam.
Hmm.
So he won his first United States Championship in 2018. This would be that that got him the Grand Slam, and he's won IC twice before. He's won, I believe twice, and obviously 14 reigns as heavyweight champion, and the tag championships with both Legacy and Bray Wyatt
and Riddle.
And Riddle.
Yeah,
I mean, this would be his
titles.
Rated RKO as well. And but this would be his second United States Championship, would give him a second Grand Slam.
And he's a two-time Rumble winner, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
Because he was going for his third this time. And would have tied him with
2009 and 2017.
There you go.
Damn. So he's just missing a couple King of the Rings, and he's got it.
Well, he did win Money in the Bank as well.
Damn.
Wow.
Fucking work, man.
Yeah. So, nonetheless, this would be his Grand Slam. So,
well, that's a good argument for it then. Yeah.
Give him one more Grand Slam before he, you know, goes on his, you know, I'm an old man tour.
It doesn't hurt Logan if he does lose.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, like, Randy Orton holding the title doesn't, like, I mean, that actually elevates it a little bit more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on which Randy Orton we get after this match.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be too upset with the KO Open again.
Yeah, I agree with that. I would like that too.
Because that gives a lot of opportunity for people to come up and have their, you know, their showcase matches with KO. But
you get a Braun Breaker, you get a fucking Carmelo Hayes.
Yeah, Dragon Lee can even participate. You know, those types of people that are just coming up get an opportunity. You know, Trick Williams gets a shot. Hell, Ilya Dragunov gets a shot. I mean, that could be...
Hell, Baron Corbin?
Yeah. But, I mean, you could have Ilya come up as NXT champion, and then that mirrors the KO Cena with the U.S. Open.
Yeah, that's true.
That's if he walks out to Stand and Deliver the champion.
I'm just saying, but you could, you know. And that would be an interesting way to go about it, is to have that mirror... You know, the U.S. Open, and then the NXT champion comes on and kind of, you know, calls out KO.
I can see that not being Dragunov, but being like a Braun Breaker.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I feel like it's going to be someone who's going to get pushed. I don't see Dragunov getting pushed on the main roster.
Braun Breaker, what makes you think you could beat me? Ruthless aggression.
No. Yeah, no.
No, it'd be better if you get Thunder Math.
All right, well, we'll move on to the women's match and Io Sky versus Bayley. I think a lot of people are pulling for Bayley to win that title.
I think this is hands down your best women's storyline.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it definitely trumps Rhea and Becky.
I think it's the best storyline, but I think they've also undervalued it. I think that it hasn't been had a lot of opportunity to be told.
It hasn't been featured as much as Becky and Rhea. Yeah.
I mean, they have Ariel Helwani podcast with Rhea and Becky showing up and shit, but you know, we haven't heard much about Bayley and Io.
No, good. I hope that puts a chip on their shoulder and they go out and absolutely fucking kill it.
Bayley's been going on a rampage about how she hasn't been on any of the posters and stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is the moment to show people why you should be on the posters.
I think they'll do that.
I think she already deserves to be, but I think this is when you show everybody.
Yeah. All right. So,
I'm glad we get that one.
Huh?
Mm-hmm. I'm glad we get that one for night two.
Yeah. One that I'm so glad. I mean, I knew it was going to be on night two, and that's Seth and McIntyre. But now that Punk is a commentator, we get a CM Punk entrance on night two, which is pretty cool. We get
cult of personality bumping through fucking the
Lincoln Financial Field.
Unless he goes with Misery Cantare. again.
No, like he I did think it. you would have to save that for when he if he actually or builds it up.
Fire burns.
Yeah, that's not happening. You're not taking that much shine off of those guys.
We get a This Fire Burns coming out. Oh my god, I'd lose my shit. I would lose it.
Not happening. No way. Takes too much away. I think you just get. But
oh, that is flawlessly Punk.
I agree.
You're trying to take the spotlight from a title match.
I agree.
Come on, not this Punk.
Not this Punk. Yeah,
I know. But that is like cliche Punk. Like, I'm gonna change my entrance music to fuck up to take the spotlight.
Yeah, that was if Punk was an AEW Punk.
Yeah.
Not working for a finely tuned machine like WWE. No, I think it adds more shenanigans to the match. I'm still putting money, although my betting record is not strong right now.
Obviously.
I'm still putting strong money on a cash in. I think it makes way too much fucking sense.
So
unless they do, my dryer went off. Unless they do something really WWE ish, and there's a cash in Monday after Mania.
Yeah, he's de-wrinkling his Stady hat. No. So I would figure probably Monday would be the cash in, a la Dolph Ziggler on Alberto kind of situation.
That would mean you have to put, I mean, you put Drew in a match.
I mean, he's talking about that he, you know, the workhorse title.
Yeah.
Have him have a match on Monday and, you know, Damian cashes in and just.
What if you have him in a match and you have a debut? At the same time, what if they do something fucking crazy?
Yeah. I mean, it could be. I honestly think there's just as good of a chance that we get Punk sitting on commentary and there's a ref bump and Punk takes off his shirt and has a ref shirt underneath and slides in for the count.
I you know what? Now that you say that, that's a very, very good possibility. I like that too. And it involves Punk even more. But I agree. I think Drew wins, and I think there's a cash in, but I wouldn't be opposed to a Monday night after WrestleMania cash in as well.
I think they have to give Drew his moment.
He can give him his moment, and he can have about 45, 50 seconds of it.
No. Not after everything that happened with 2020 and how he basically carried the company because of it. No. They're going to give him a night of being champion before the cash in on Monday.
I don't know, man. That doesn't go towards his character.
I know it doesn't, but I feel like this is a Triple H paying it back kind of thing. I think Drew has been a trooper. It also gives incentive for, you know, contract negotiations because he's not been under contract for, you know. Yeah. I think you give him his moment at Mania.
In your contract, you're basically saying, do you want to lose this title the night of Mania, or do you want to lose this
right?
Because that's it's going to be a big deal breaker for us, depending on which one you decide to pick.
But it also let, you know,
we'll give you an extra $600,000 if you drop the title that night.
I mean, hey.
It's a business.
Make money.
That's right.
But, I mean, I still think, you know, I think it had happens Monday. I think he has to have his moment at Mania.
I mean, I think he can go.
Whether it's cheers or boos.
I think we're getting a cash in no matter what. It's going to be one of those two nights. And I'm okay with it.
I also think that the reason I brought up. The reason I brought up the Punk referee thing was mainly because I think it sets up the Seth rivalry when Punk comes back.
Yeah.
Because Seth's going to want time off after losing the title too.
Since it's been building, I'd rather see a McIntyre Punk feud. But yeah. I guess it depends on how long or how much longer Punk is out.
Well, if Priest does a cash in and they do a typical WWE thing,
yeah,
it's going to be Priest and McIntyre because that storyline's already there. And they're going to do Punk and Seth. And once McIntyre and Priest are done,
you'll
see Punk go up in there. Seth might take a break at that point.
Yeah. I mean, Seth's still dealing with the knee thing and the back thing.
That would be good for him to take.
Or a back thing. Or a psychological thing. Or a heart attack. He needs heart attack. Me.
I mean, I think it makes more sense that Seth takes time off and Punk is still healing anyway. So, and then you have that, and then maybe you have the comeback of both.
Yeah.
Either way, I think that finish, everyone's going to be looking for something weird, probably waiting for a cash in. I think most people probably think that's coming. So I think a lot of people are just going to be staring at the ramp, waiting and waiting to see Damian. So it's going to be interesting regardless. But yeah, I agree. I think McIntyre wins no matter what.
Yeah. I think there's a beatdown too. I think you have to have a reason to take Seth out of the main event.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So let's move on to what we've been waiting for an entire year, and the return match, Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns. And if we are correct, we'll be looking at a Bloodline Rules match for the WWE Undisputed Universal Championship. And
they've done a phenomenal job on not being able to guess this one.
Yeah, I agree with what you said.
Done a phenomenal job of not being able to pronounce this one.
Yeah.
The long-ass title name.
It is a long fucking title, man. Just make it the goddamn WWE title. Jesus Christ. It doesn't need the Undisputed Universal. Like, it doesn't need all that. Just the WWE Championship. That's all it needs. But I'm sticking with what I thought months ago. And I think, and actually Joe contributed to this because we talked about this. I can't remember if it's on the show or just going somewhere, but I think you have the Avenger style thing that everyone's talking about. I think we see Seth. I don't think Seth's co-main event because I think he's going to be earlier in the night. I think we see Seth. I think we see Jay. I think they eliminate Jimmy and Solo, and you just have The Rock left. And I think we're so close to Roman winning because Rock has helped him beat him down. And I think the glass shatters and Austin comes down to help. And I think Cody Rhodes finally gets his moment and finishes his story. That's how
I mean, there is a reason that the beatdown out by the bus had Stone Cold on the truck behind The Rock all the time. There has to be.
Yes, I agree.
That or they are doing the best fucking swerve of all time.
Which also could be true. With Triple H, it also could be true.
Kevin Nash returns and takes out The Rock. That's why he couldn't be at Sting's last match, damn it.
He definitely fucking pulls a quad on that one.
Walking to the ring.
Yeah.
I don't think he's making it to the ring.
No. He's adjusting his glove and tears it.
He definitely tears his pec and part of his ACL.
Joe, what do you think? How far-fetched do you think I am?
I don't think you're far-fetched. I think there's just so much potential that I don't want to build up too much because I don't want to be let down. You know what I'm saying? Even with everything that could potentially happen, everything that we've thought up of and all that shit, like it seems so logical, like all of it in any facet you want to think of. And don't get me wrong, The Rock is involved in this. There's going to be shit that happens. It's just which way is it going to go?
I think the worst potential option is Cena.
Why do you say worst?
Well, out of the three possibilities that I think are going to happen, you have Stone Cold, you have Cena, and you have Cody takes them both. Rock and Roman. Stone Cold is easily my top because that's just the biggest moment that you could have and at the biggest pay-per-view you could have.
Yeah.
PLE, whatever. And then Cody takes on both Rock and Roman, overcomes them both, tells that story of Cody overcoming. Cena, where does he fit? Cena, yeah, he had the twice in a lifetime with Rock, but those were one-off matches that had like a year of build, and then you've got the history of everything with Stone Cold means a lot more. The only other person that would, I think the other person that would be bigger than Cena coming in is you have Dustin. You have Dustin come back for one night only to help Cody. Jumps out of the crowd, whatever it may be, and takes on the Rock. I mean, Goldust and Rock have history too.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's more far-fetched than Austin, and Austin's far-fetched.
I don't know. I mean, there's people guessing MJF is showing up on night two to save Cody because Cody trained him the whole.
What would be more apropos if he came in and cost Cody the title, and he said to him, "You're never allowed to win this title."
You're really riding that apropos, aren't you?
Like, it was on his word of the day calendar. That was the word of the day.
I feel like it's a good word for a man with a mustache.
He heard apropos was the word of the day and did a desk pop.
Joe, do you think Cody finishes his story?
I want him to.
I didn't ask that. Do you think Cody finishes the story?
Yes.
Okay. Bill?
I don't see it going any other way. I don't think... Granted, Cody... Yeah, what Cody's biggest thing is chasing.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been his thing, is chasing. Since he left the first time. And I just don't see it going any other way. Because you have to cash in eventually.
Yeah.
And... We thought they were psychotic not having it last year.
Yeah.
And they built it and built it and built it again.
It'd be even worse this year.
It would be disastrous this year if he doesn't win it.
Yeah.
I don't see them wanting to delay this anymore, especially with the whole Rock's filming stuff for the next 6 months. Roman has been rumored to want to take 6 months off for fucking ever. He just said that he's still on very potent leukemia medication this week. You know, I don't see them going into this split of Raw to Netflix and SmackDown to USA without an everyday champion established doing it. And there's no bigger moment to do it unless, you know, next year they're doing, you know, WrestleMania and Dusty's old territory. like that's the only place that it would make more sense.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
It's not. Yeah. So I just don't see how they don't pull the trigger.
Yeah. I agree. I agree with both you guys. I think he finishes it. I think you, like, to both your points, I think it has to happen. I feel like it's going to happen. I don't know. This whole week is absolutely ridiculous. I've been following everything. I've been looking what they're putting out. Like I said, Rock and Roman tonight on Jimmy Fallon. Tomorrow night, Thursday night at 5:00, we get the unveiling of the WrestleMania stage, which is kind of behind Bill there. That the leak of
my chair's in the way.
But yeah. I think there's so much going on this weekend. And by the way, I do real quick. I'm really looking forward to Stand and Deliver on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
Stand and Deliver has some great matches. That is going to be another part of it. Hall of Fame, of course, is going to be cool. Roman, now we know Roman is inducting Paul Heyman. So that speech is going to be really, really good with Roman. And of course, the acceptance speech by Heyman is going to be phenomenal. Probably one of the best we will ever hear. At least that's, I think, expectations.
I wonder if they do it in the ring.
Well, like I think they're going to do what they've been doing, and that's that. Yeah, you know, I mean, cutting off, taking the one set of ropes off hard cam.
Yeah,
I mean, red carpet and doing it like that. I like that. Yeah. I like it. I like it better than, you know what I mean, cutting off half the stadium and making a stage and doing it all that. Like, and not only that, it's easy setup for WWE. To take one set of ropes off and put a rug down. You know what I mean? It's pretty simple.
Well, isn't it? It's in the Wells Fargo, isn't it?
Yeah, right after SmackDown.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So
it makes the most sense to do it that way.
Yeah, they're not breaking down all of fucking Wells Fargo at 10 o'clock.
Yeah. I forgot about SmackDown.
Yeah. There's no
fucking way they're fucking turning that into in under what, a half hour?
I'm actually going to miss I'm going to miss Stand and Deliver. I'm going to have to watch it later.
You're going to be at the tailgate, right?
Yeah, the tailgate. So I'll be on the field.
Is that the tailgate with Ric Flair?
No, it's the tailgate with DDP, Braun Strowman, and a bunch of other people appearing, and with free food and beer and stuff. And it's on the field of Citizens Bank Park. So, because the photo op with DDP is at home plate.
Ooh.
So we'll be on the field at Citizens Bank Park on Saturday and Sunday. And, you know, right before, and that starts at 2:30. So, you know, so it's a 2:30 to 4:30, and then 4:30 doors open. So, you know,
4:30 doors open. Holy shit.
Well, they moved WrestleMania up by an hour. So
yeah, that's 7.
So 4:30 is doors, 6 p.m. I believe is the start of the kickoff. 6:30 is the start of matches for kickoff, and 7 p.m. is the start of WrestleMania. It's gives you an hour and a half to get in.
It's here. We got 3 days. Oh, yep. God, I can't fucking wait.
It'll be fucking crazy.
Yeah, so, and that's the other thing I wanted to, like, Friday night we'll be at Battleground, which I'd say get tickets, but it's completely sold out. That's going to be a really cool event, Tribute to Extreme. The opening match was announced today on Busted Open. Bully Ray and D-Von will open the show against Onita and his mystery partner. So that's a really cool way of starting that show. Saturday, we will be at 2300 Arena for their watch party for night one. That's going to be a blast, especially being in 2300 watching that. And then Sunday, we'll be in the Link. I can't fucking wait. Like, yeah, I'm so excited.
I'll be there both nights. I'll be at the WrestleMania World on Thursday.
You gotta tell us how that is.
Oh, I don't even care about meeting the superstars. I want to see what the superstore's like.
Yeah.
So that opens at 11, and I'll be there at the door at 11, waiting to get into the superstore.
That's just gonna sell out so quick.
So. Yeah. And I actually got my Priority Pass gear in already. They shipped it. So wow. I've got Jen. Oh, Jen's sleeping. Here, give me one sec. I'll grab it.
Okay.
Are we still recording?
We still are recording, yeah. This is still the show. Technically.
This is very unprofessional of someone who's doing a show.
Yeah. Just to leave us hanging like this.
Yeah, so... We got the.
Lost in the green screen.
There's the WrestleMania with the bird over it.
It's pretty nice. I like it.
And then move this, the Priority Pass, and then Philadelphia, April 2024.
I would like it better if it didn't have Priority Pass on it.
Right.
That's your ticket. That's what I want.
And then we also get the Priority Pass on location. And we get the commemorative pin.
I like that. That pin's pretty cool.
I was there, WrestleMania XL 2024.
That's not bad.
That's pretty cool.
So,
does that get you to the front of the line?
Yeah, so we get at WrestleMania World at the convention center, we get to go, we have express lane through checkout.
Nice.
So, for the superstore. And then we get a private entrance. We get the Citizens Bank Park tailgate before each day. And then we get our own entrance into the Link.
Hmm.
And then, so we get a priority pass entrance right to the link and go right up to our seats.
Interesting.
So we get to skip all the lines getting into Mania.
Not bad at all.
It should be good. And then Friday, actually, I'll be at WrestleCon at the Sheraton down in Center City.
That should be really cool. I saw that lineup. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's nuts.
That lineup forever long.
Yeah. But a lot of the problem I have is that so many things are like, even at the WrestleMania World, like, meet and greets are happening Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's got time for that shit. Like,
people,
like,
but see, people in people who are coming here do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, us who live here, and we, of course, this is our normal lives, we don't have that time. But you're coming in from Seattle, and you're just staying in a hotel. What else do you have to do but walk around and do shit like that? You know what I mean? Like,
I,
so
I get it. I get it. I understand. I'm just saying, no, I don't have that.
Well, we have even less time than you have. You're doing way more than what we're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, but I also took off this week, so.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Man, imagine taking a whole week off for Mania.
Yep.
I would be living the life right now.
About five years ago, we probably would have.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so, I mean...
Kids.
You're such a dick.
I got one kid, and it's a cockatoo right back there. And that thing's going to be, granted, you know, your kids will grow out of screaming.
It's true. That's true.
Cockatoo lives for 85 years and is going to scream the whole time.
That thing's going to outlive you.
Yeah. So, good luck. I'm giving it to you after I go.
Imagine Larry's just sitting there, fucking wheelchair in a home, gets a bird. Why is this old bird yelling at me?
So before we wrap up, because we still are doing this show,
who would have thunk it?
Bill, did you see the CM Punk Ariel Helwani interview?
Yes. So I watched a good portion of it. I was a little distracted.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was something I had on in the background.
Okay.
But yeah, I saw a lot of posts about it too. So
yeah, I think we were talking about it because all the stuff happened when we did Table for Four. It was just fresh after all the CM Punk shit happened in AEW. Mm-hmm. And we brought up a point. That did we think it was CM Punk, like some kind of mental issue? And looking at the way he said it, he didn't come off as like just spitting fire like he did again with the Colt Cabana podcast against WWE. Mm-hmm. He was very relaxed. It felt like he was just telling what happened and telling how it was. And you look at it and you go, it was AEW. It absolutely 100% was AEW. Like the
granted, we're taking it at his word.
Yes, and well, look, calmly. That's the only word we're going to get.
And he did say that he was friends with the doctor that he previously sued, who is now in AEW.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
look, but, he seemed very truthful.
Yeah, now, you guys, Cody, who comes out and has nothing but good things to say about.
Yeah, but
he came out and said today that you know he didn't. He disagreed with what Punk said. He's very proud of what AEW did, et cetera, et cetera.
As a creator of the company, that doesn't surprise me. Yeah, and that's what Cody is. I get that. I would believe
it hasn't been good since Cody.
They've had their moments. They've had their moments. Absolutely, yeah.
I think Cody was better.
I disagree with it, but we also have different tastes. So it's a lot different. I mean, I personally think them bringing Ospreay in has been a fucking boon to them because they
it definitely is a difference maker.
He is electric in the ring, and he's been cutting promos like nobody's business. Everybody's on it. He's on fire. He's going to keep going. I think they've been good. And I think MJF coming into his own, and before he got injured, MJF was on a run. Him and Adam Cole had their thing going that was, like, honestly some of the best comedy segments that they've had in wrestling in general for a while.
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong, R-Truth's a goldmine, but Adam Cole and MJF with their vignettes of them, like, going to restaurants and stuff like that, I thought was hilarious.
It was. I agree.
So, it's different tastes, but I think Cody leaving initially tore some of the soul out. Because it felt like Cody was there because he loved the product, whereas the others were there to get themselves over at first. But then as people started gelling together after Cody left, it felt like people actually really started caring and people started coming forward and stepping up to those roles, like a Darby or MJF or the Pillars, as you want to list them. You know, I honestly think that they did a lot of good stuff since then. And I think Cody would be nowhere near as big if he stayed in AEW as he is in WWE. Well,
yeah, I think that's obvious.
He was an afterthought in AEW. He became an afterthought.
Well, he screwed himself.
In his own company.
He screwed himself. Well, I will never go for the title. If I lose this match, I'll never go for the title. That ruined it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because he was trying to prove to everyone that, you know, he wasn't booking himself to be the champion, that he wasn't going to be the Triple H, and, you know, sledgehammering the throne and all.
Yeah.
But he booked himself into a fucking corner. And there was nowhere for him to go. That TNT title was everything to him. And, you know, he booked himself into a corner. There was nowhere for him to go from. He had to leave.
I think the most telling thing that came out of that thing with Punk and that stuck with me that I completely agreed with is that they asked him about the company and how long it was going to last. And he said that depending on it's your definition of success, like what is success? What are they going to be successful? But he said, like, they're not in it to make money. They're not in it to make money. They're not in it for storytelling. Like, they're in it for doing matches, which is all well and good. That, like, but if you're not in it to make money, and I also agree with the guaranteed contracts. A lot of people jumped on that. Oh, well, if those were guaranteed contracts, Punk wouldn't have the money he has. Yeah, but from what he was trying to say about guaranteed contracts, if they're wrestling for that house and you're getting paid for what the people you're drawing, AEW would be done. And it's only only because Khan can keep throwing money into it is the reason it's still going. I completely agree with that fact, because he's right. There's no way AEW still survives 5 years in if they're drawing what they're drawing.
I totally agree. And I think it's the fact that For the Love of the Game doesn't pay the bills.
Yeah.
And I wholeheartedly support. I love the idea behind it. I love that they're doing it for the love of the game and because they love wrestling with all their heart and soul, but it doesn't fucking matter if you've got nowhere to wrestle.
You can wrestle
matches in a backyard on wooden planks for the love of the game.
Yeah.
But if you want to do it in front of large crowds and everything like that, you have to be a business.
Yeah.
And then worry about for the love of the game.
Unless you're a billionaire.
Yeah.
Well, there's that as well. So look at us. We did a WrestleMania show and we ended up talking about AEW.
Yeah,
had to happen eventually.
We had Bill on.
Yeah,
that's very true. That's exactly what it is.
Very true.
Is I know you like to abstain from your AEW commentary, so I told Larry, you know, I'll do a half hour here and there if you want to talk AEW. I'll be your side project.
You're gonna add much more value than me when it comes to that.
But it's the same idea of like, I love AEW because they do it for the love of the game. Do I think that they're going to be successful only doing it for the love of the game? Fuck no. And that's part of the issue. It's, yeah. You know.
Well, guys, this is it. Mania is here. It was a good show. Bill, thanks for joining us. As always, we will see you in person on Sunday for sure. We'll definitely meet up somewhere.
I'll have the Brotherly Love hoodie on.
Everyone else, enjoy this fantastic wrestling weekend in our city. What's that?
There we say glorious.
Gloria, yeah, with that mustache.
Way to go, Bobby.
Yeah, with that mustache, glorious, absolutely. This glorious wrestling.
Now
weekend.
I want to go get my robe.
But everyone enjoy. We will. This is going to be one hell of a weekend. It's one reason why it's table for three and not table for four, because Scott is, as we speak, enjoying a independent wrestling show right now with the start of the collective.
It's probably more so than, you know, trying to talk over us.
Yeah, exactly. He wouldn't try to. He would just sit there and be quiet. There's a big difference.
Yeah. Sorry, Scott. Love you, buddy.
But thank you, everyone, for watching. Enjoy this weekend, and we'll be talking to you very soon.